So Rangers, Yankees, you're Devin Williams on for the save late. I will play you the TV audio next hour because you had Ryan Rucco and David Cohen talking about how bad Peterson's been. He's batting 126, can't get out of his own way.
He's fat.
Sure. And then
he, is.
And then
his pitch swing on. Fly ball deep right. Tie ball game.
Look at how big he is.
Peterson with a home run ties it at 5-5.
He's
Devin batting Williams. .125 or something.
126 before that home run, yeah.
Right. Had he been hurt, had he not
I'm
playing?
Not following, I don't know. Good question.
But I think he looks a little bit thicker than he used to.
You might be right. So that tied the game at 5. The Yankee win off the board. They go to the 10th inning. And they intentionally walk a man to get to Josh Jung. And, well, this happens.
There's a 1-1. Going on a high fly ball, deep left center field. It's carrying out of here. Third row, 3-run homer, Josh Jung. And the Yankees have lost 4 consecutive games now. They're now 3-7 in extra inning games and 0-7 on the road.
And that
yikes.
Dave Simmons
again
on
suck
the
right now. We suck right now.
And that was off Jake Bird, who as soon as the ball was hit, just put his head down because he knew the thing was out. And so 8-5, the final in 10. First, Devin Williams, the pitch to Peterson that got out.
I mean, I'm trying to throw it down and away there, miss middle, and obviously he did what he did.
Now, we'll mention the losing streak. They have not played well. The Yankees are 60-53. They're now tied with Seattle for second and third in the wild card race. Here's Williams. We are struggling.
Things haven't been going well for a while, and I think everyone's well aware of that. You know, I would say I'm trying my best. Sometimes that leads to the opposite outcome that you're trying to achieve. But you know, at the end of the day, you got to get it done.
I appreciate him taking ownership of it. I really
do.
He's in front of the microphone. He's taking the heat. He feels it. Jock Peterson's OPS is 503.
Yeah. What did he say? I'm trying my best, but sometimes that leads to a lesser outcome.
Yep.
So he's going to try.
Less?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Here was Max Fried, who, I mean, this guy was so good in April and May. His last several starts have not been good, and he gets the no decision. 4 runs on 8 hits and 3 walks over 5 innings. Had the terrible throw into center field. He's got 2 strikes on the batter. Just in terms of the way the team has played, collective issue.
It's everyone. It takes all of us, and you know we have each other's backs. But kind of, like I said, we just got to do it.
Yeah, well, they're not doing it right now. And Texas, by the way, just a game and a half behind them in the wild card race.
I think Jung's OPS is like, you know, less than 310.
There's no way he's got an OPS of less than 310, and he's still in the major leagues.
You sure?
Josh Jung, it can't be. 310?
No, Jung.
Young.
Young or Jung?
Young.
Third base.
Oh, well, the DH.
Josh Jung cannot have an OPS of 3. There's no way. It's not possible.
Sure?
Yes, I'm sure. There's no way. On base percentage, maybe, but not an OPS.
His OPS is 698, Jerry.
I need my glasses.
I was reading the wrong column.
I can't see a thing without my glasses.
Damn straight.
Tight. How about handing me my glasses?
I just love that there was a man who went into a studio and recorded that stuff.
For what?
Exactly.
I don't know, but it works well for us. Tonight, Will Warren faces Nathan Eovaldi on the Fan. First pitch, 8:05. Aaron Judge expected back in the lineup, but he will be a DH. Now, I mentioned the Rangers, a game and a half behind the Yankees and the Mariners for that wild card spot or spots. The Guardians are now just 2.5 back, even though they were selling pieces. Their closer suspended. Here they were last night. They blew a 5-0 lead, but still wound up beating the Mets.
First pitch, bunted in the air toward third. Fielded on one hop by Beatty. Throws to second. It's off Lindor's glove. Rolls into right. Schneeman scores. Ramirez goes to third. David Fry gets to second base, and on a bunt, The Guardians take a 6-5 lead.
Small ball, Boomer. Small ball. Make him defend.
Right, exactly. Make him defend. Make him catch and throw it.
God.
God almighty.
They would score one more. Gabriel Arias.
I think there's also a hole in Lindor's glove.
I guess. I mean, there were holes in the Guardians' gloves last night as they couldn't seem to catch anything, but they win. And the Mets did. And Arias had a 3-run homer in the 6th. He would add a sack fly in the 10th.
That was a bomb.
Yes. 7-6 was the final score. Mets got a run, but not enough. They also, we mentioned, down 5-0. Pete Alonso, 4-for-4, the 3-run homer, the RBI single, but then he also struck out when they could have won the game. Here's Carlos Mendoza. It's a hard game to lose.
Yeah, it's a tough one there. Because, you know, after coming back, fighting all the way back, you get down 5 against a pretty good bullpen, and you're able to rally and, you know, tie the game and then just have some opportunities there, and we couldn't get the big one there.
No, they could not.
Somebody ask him, you know, why'd you put Beatty up instead of Vientos?
I don't know if they did ask him. I will find out. Did you see
Vientos? Lefty.
Did you see Vientos miss the pop-up in the first inning?
Yes.
Thank you, good Lord.
The amount of, like, just, and this is what happens when you're losing. When you're losing, it looks like this. It looks like this for the Yankees. It looks like this for the Mets.
I said to Al in the 6th inning with Manaea, I don't know if you saw it or not, but he throws a wild pitch so far out to the left, it hit the wall behind home plate. Alvarez, and this guy on 3rd, I think Stephen Kwan was on 3rd. Alvarez goes to get it, and then without looking, just throws it and airmails it over his head. Now, Kwan didn't score because they backed it up, but it looked like a mess. Here was Alonso. We were down 5-0. Tied it, had a chance to win, so I guess glass half full, maybe?
To be honest, it'd be more frustrating if we didn't do anything, if we just kind of laid down right there, and if it was just they shut us out or we didn't really score that many runs. So I think it'd be more frustrating that way. But again, like, pitchers threw the ball really well today. I mean, offense kept us in it the whole way.
Yeah.
Just to be accurate here.
Yeah.
You're going after Mendoza for the pinch hitting. He did not pinch hit Beatty for Vientos. It was because Mauricio was playing 3rd.
Right.
And then he pinch hit Marte.
First.
Yeah, yeah. Vientos played first. So Marte pinch hit for Mauricio. And then Beatty came in defensively after that to play 3rd base.
Yeah, but Beatty was up and rolled one over.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. You're right about that. But he did not pinch hit him for Vientos, who was 0-for-4 anyway, even though he had a sack fly.
And by the way, Nimmo, 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. Not good. Mets have lost 6-of-7. Clay Holmes takes on LT Allen tonight. Okay. On Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10. The Mets now a game and a half behind Philadelphia and the NL East as the Phillies beat the Orioles 13-3. All right, a couple of things from the NFL. At Jets camp, we are getting set for, I know we had the Hall of Fame game, but officially week one of the preseason. So for Aaron Glenn, getting set for everything this weekend.
This is game week. And we have to go through our procedure on how we're going to go about going through game week. And it's important for the players to understand exactly how I operate in that situation, going through all warm-ups, all those things. So this will be an important week for us.
And for him too, right? First real game as a head coach. I mean, it's a preseason game.
Yeah, so I told you yesterday, that's exactly what they're going through.
I wasn't here when you said that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Never mind. With the Giants, this isn't really necessarily the 2025 Giants, but I will take you back. You can stop this whenever you want. It's obviously a long phone call from years back with Dan and Warwick and Mike Francesa on the fan.
Dan and Warwick, what's up, Dan?
Hey, Mike. I just got a question about the Giants. In your years of experience, have you ever seen how the San Francisco Giants were once the New York Giants? Has there ever been either a franchise to franchise or maybe even player to player get together when San Francisco comes to New York? Like, do they ever say hi, maybe, I don't know, go out to dinner or something?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Is there ever any interaction when the San Francisco Giants come to New York or vice versa?
The San Francisco Giants come to New York and do what?
So you remember the call.
Of course.
So yesterday, to promote Eli's new show, here he is, before I play Mike's part, here's Eli promoting his lunch with the Giants and the Giants, him and Sean O'Hara. This was the promotional video.
All right, we're just back for the annual Giants meetup. This is a yearly tradition where the San Francisco Giants are in town playing the Mets. And so, of course, all the Giants players get together for a little dinner and orange juice, a little brunch, as you call it, before they go play a game.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's perfect. And I think Eli's the perfect guy to be delivering the message.
So it's Eli and Sean O'Hara and Matt Chapman and
Logan Webb.
Logan Webb, thank you. And then here's the promotional video where Mike comes in. Mike walks in.
They really do get together.
Then he walks out.
Anyway, I was thinking next year we should have a picnic.
I think it's great. I think it's very funny. That Mike actually leaned into it.
He did, very much so. Yes.
Well, because it wasn't him that looked stupid.
No, right? It was funny.
Like, if they would have done a thing on him sleeping when Sweeney was on the phone, he wouldn't have participated.
No, of course.
But because the caller looked stupid and not him, he was all about it.
So that caller was on the fan. I know he was on with the afternoon guys, too, but I know Sal had him on briefly. It didn't go so good.
You know why we're calling you today, right?
Nope.
The Giants posted a video of Francesa walking into a room with Eli Manning and Sean O'Hara of the New York Football Giants having lunch with Matt Chapman and Logan Webb of the San Francisco Giants, all based on your call 10 years ago.
Yeah, I heard that was a pretty famous call. I saw the old cartoon where I had a bottle of bleach and computers in the background.
What?
I think, you remember when they used to do that Mike cartoon
Mike
thing?
Mike-imation?
Yeah, Mike-imation. Yeah. So I guess they did that call, and whoever did the Mike-imation had a bunch of computers in the background and a bottle of bleach.
That's strange.
Yeah.
This was a very strange call. He called him Evan.
Yeah, twice.
Which I'll get to.
Yeah, he called him Evan twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so Hoffman had a take on this thing, because he didn't want to talk. He's like, it's a bad time. I'm going to Vermont, and I heard somebody was trying to get in touch with me, whatever.
I'm going to Vermont. So what?
That's what he said. He's like, I'm busy.
Have some syrup and call in.
So Hoffman had a take that as I was listening to this, and I hadn't heard Hoffman's take yet, that this is what I was thinking. Because he says that it was a prank call, which a lot of people assumed during the thing. But he says it's a prank call. People who prank are so proud of their pranks. I mean, Buchanan guy can't get enough of himself.
Right.
There's guys on X who post all their prank calls. Like, oh, I did this, I did that. People come up to me. Hey, I'm the slap your butt cheeks guy. You know, like all of these things. So he has what could possibly be, if it's a prank, the best prank there ever was, the most popular prank there ever was, and he's running away from it? No.
Seems like it.
No. So to me, this was a real phone call. He's been embarrassed by it for many years. He sees the animation where he's got a bottle of bleach there, and they're like, oh, my God. Like,
they think he's crazy.
Drink bleach. Right. They think I'm nuts. He's embarrassed by it and then wants no part of it. Because if he really did come up with that prank, he would be so into this
thing. I think so.
This would be, I mean, unless he's some sort of super accomplished whatever, this could be one of the greatest moments of his life.
Yeah, I don't understand why he doesn't lean into it. I have no
Because
idea.
I think he's embarrassed by it.
Why would he be embarrassed by it?
Because it's one of the dumbest things that's ever been said on the radio station.
Yeah, but it's also the way Mike reacted to it.
Yeah, but he was seriously asking the question.
Yeah. Like, he's just saying, oh, of course it was a prank. He's saying that now. But
you think he might have been serious originally.
Yeah, because he never, and then he went away. Like, if that were me and I made that good of a prank, and everybody thought I was serious, I would have called up, like, the next day and be like, dude, this is me.
Right.
I'm Dan. I'm a jokester. It's a prank. Like, I'm not an idiot. He did nothing. None of that. He just disappeared. He's embarrassed.
Might be right. Might be right. But whatever. It was fun for us. And the Spurs give De'Aaron Fox 4 years, $229 million.